Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given this ummah the names Al-Wahidu and also the name Al-Ahad. Al-Wahidu and Al-Ahad. These are two very beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very similar in its meaning. Both have the meaning of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that Tawheed is very, very important. The foundation of Islam is upon Tawheed, which is the oneness of Allah. And so the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wahid and also Ahad. Wahid means one in reference to numbers. So for an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one. There are no two gods or three gods or four gods or a million gods, aliyazu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only one. And you only worship one God. That is why Allah has mentioned the name Wahid in many, many chapters of the Quran. Wa ilahukum ilahum wahid. Allah says, Wa ilahukum ilahum wahid. And your Lord is only one. Don't be deceived. Don't let shaitan make a mockery of you in this world and also in the hereafter. Always understand that your Lord is one. Allah is only one. That is the meaning of Wahid. Another name is Ahad. Ahad. What is the meaning of Ahad and what is the difference between Wahid and Ahadun? Ahad means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, but that one who is completely unique in his oneness. That one who is completely unique in his oneness and who is unique in all of his attributes. And that is why, because Ahadun means that Allah is completely unique in his being the one only, you will find that the word Ahadun also comes in the Quran only once. The word Ahad, the name of Allah, only comes how many times? One. Does anybody know where the word Ahad comes? Ji? Ji? Surah Ikhlas. Surah Ikhlas. Very easy surah. Qul huwallahu Ahad. The name of Allah, Ahadun, is only found here. This attribute of Ahad is only in Surah Ikhlas. So the one who is unique in everything. And Wahid is in terms of numbers. That he is not two, three, four, but he is only one. That you worship only one God. An atheist came to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh. And he said to Imam Sahib that where is Allah? Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so Imam Sahib could have given him many examples, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find people who have this tabi'at, their nature is like that. They always want to put up an argument and they will throw questions at you. But this is how they are. So where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imam Abu Hanifa said to him that go and get me a glass of milk. Now in those days it was pure clean milk. So he said, okay, I'll get you milk. So he got a glass of milk for Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Sahib said to him that, look, now tell me, where is the cream in this milk that you have? Can you see the cream that is there? Where is the cream? So he said, without a doubt, there is cream in the milk, but the cream is everywhere in the milk. The cream is everywhere in the milk. And so Imam Abu Hanifa said to him, if this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can understand and think that the cream is everywhere in this glass of milk, then why is it difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be everywhere? Why is it difficult for Allah Pak? If the cream is everywhere inside the milk, then why is it difficult for Allah Pak? Now in those days, cream was very important. People would use cream and they would take cream out from the milk. Today we sometimes don't understand this. How is it possible? Because we just drink milk as milk. And then he said, okay, tell me, in which direction is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facing? In which direction is Allah Pak facing? Where is His direction? So Imam Sahib said, okay, get me a candle. And so a candle was given to Imam Sahib. And Imam Sahib lit the candle. And then Hazrat said, tell me, you see the flame that is burning in the dark room. In which direction do you see the light of the flames? The light that is given from this. In which direction do you see the light of the flames? So he said, well, the light is in every direction. The light is in every direction. I can't say that, you know, it's in front or it's at the back or it's on the right or it's on the left. The candle that is burning, it's giving the light, and the light is in every direction. So Imam Abu Hanifa also said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see and is in every direction you turn to. In every direction you turn. So then he said, okay, tell me what is before Allah. Tell me what is before Allah. What is before Allah? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said to him, count from 1 to 10. So he counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hazrat said, now go back, count backwards. So he said, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So Hazrat said, now tell me what is before 1. He says, well, there's nothing before 1. It's 0. 0 means there is nothing. There is nothing before 1. There is nothing before 1. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, understand, like how there is nothing before 1, there is nothing before Allah Pak. There is also nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always understand, my respected brothers, Allahu Akbar, what a great blessing it is that Allah has given us Iman, and we were born in a family that already had accepted Iman and Islam and they are people of Tawheed. Something so important for us to understand. You know, when you have your neighbors that are worshipping something that is different to you, Allahu Akbar, think about it. Think about it. They are human beings, but how shaitan has deceived people, and how Allah has given us guidance that we worship that one who is wahid and unique in his oneness and in his actions and unique in all of his attributes. Unique, the unique one, that is Ahadun. Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an, skin color, slave. Skin color, slave. There's nothing wrong in being black or white or brown or whatever. In Islam there's no racism. In Islam there is no racism. Islam abolished slavery. Islam abolished slavery. Hazrat Bilal was the slave of Umayyah bin Khalaf. And the kuffar, the mushrikeen, would take turns in punishing this great sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who later on was the muazzin. And they would punish him. And they would burn him in the hot desert of Arabia. And burning stones and charcoal was put on the chest. And he would only say one thing. He would open his eyes and he would say to them, Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. He would take this name of Allah. He would say to them, Ahad. And this was a bombshell for them. They were not prepared to accept this, that we are prepared to accept other gods. We can share. Let's compromise. But in Ahad there is no compromise. So he was saying to Umayyah, do whatever you want. I am worshipping that one and only unique God. You see, somebody might say, oh, we worship one God. No, no, no. In Islam we worship Allah who is Ahad, who is unique. Everything else is what we call false deities. Everything else is false deities. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call people. And Allah will say, okay, you were worshipping this idol, this God. And in front of them, this God will be thrown into hellfire. Here, this is your God. You were worshipping this God. Exactly this. This is the carbon copy. This is the God that was in your front room. That was in your front room. Throw it in hellfire first. And then Allah will say to the angels, and throw him also with his false gods that they were worshipping. Throw him also inside. Whoever you were worshipping, go inside. Allahu Akbar. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes are very important for us to understand. He is Al-Wahidu, he is Ahad. He is Al-Wahidu, Ahad. Hazrat Bilal, famous, he would say, Ahad, 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 only one, one, one. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came in the masjid once, and he saw a man reading tashahud. And in tashahud, when we say ashhadu Allah, when we say ashhadu Allah, when you say La, and then you raise your index finger to say, there is only one God. There is only one God. So what he was doing is that he was raising two fingers. So instead of raising one finger, he raised how many fingers? Two fingers. Like this. There is only one. Tawheed is so important that even when you are saying there is no God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, still lift up the finger to indicate. Shaitan should see this. Shaitan should see this. The commitment that comes from you that you worship only one Allah. That commitment is there, only one. And so he raised two fingers. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے تم لالا احد 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 بھائی اللہ از ون ریز ون فنگر اللہ از ون ریز ون فنگر اینڈ سو دس نیم آف اللہ کمز ان دا ویری فیمس چیپٹر آف دا قرآن وچ از سورہ اخلاص قل هو اللہ احد ہی از اللہ احد دا یونیک ون احد مینس The unique one. لم يلد ولم يولد. Allah has no family and Allah has no children. ولم يكن له كفوا احد. And there is nothing that can be compared with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is incomparable. There is nothing that can be compared with Allah Pak. He is self-sufficient. Nothing can be compared with Him. That is why this surah is called Thuluthul Quran. Thuluthul Quran. The weight of this one surah, Surah Ikhlas, that is why it is also sometimes sunnah on a Friday. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a Friday Maghrib Salah, he would read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and Qul huwallahu ahad. He would read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun and Qul huwallahu ahad on a Friday Maghrib Namaz. And so Qul huwallahu ahad is one third of the Quran. So if you read three times Qul huwallahu ahad, inshallah, the reward is of one entire Quran. The reward is of one entire Quran. Now how should my condition and your condition be? How should my condition and your condition be? It's something very important for us to understand. Sometimes what happens is that there is peer pressure from the surroundings, and you might be going to visit someone and it might be their place of worship or whatever it is. You're not even supposed to as such be around that place, because that is your human rights and you should hold that identity. Now, someone can't say to you that, oh, we live in a country so you must eat pork. Nobody can force you to eat pork. Nobody can tell you, oh, we live in a free country so you must drink alcohol. No. Likewise, I will not touch pork, I will not drink alcohol, and therefore these are the things that I will not do. These are the things that I will not compromise with. Sometimes you will find that in many parts of the world, you know, other communities, they tie like a knot to your hands and they say, "Bhai, this is my brother, this is my brother." And in some parts of the world, even Muslims say, no, it's okay to keep a relationship. No, not at all. Not at all. Allahu Akbar. This is shirk. Allah does not like that. The condition of iman should be that there should be this natural disinclination towards kufr. There should be this natural disinclination towards kufr. That your heart is far away from that. You can accept everything. You can say, hello, how are you? Give food. But kufr, this is where the difficulty becomes. That is why as Muslims we don't celebrate Christmas. It does not mean that we disrespect those who are of this faith. No. You can't force us to do something because our allegiance is with one who is wahid and who is Ahad. This is how shaitan tricks people. Shaitan tricks people. How did Hinduism come into existence? For an example, idolatry, shirk. During the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, you had five individuals known for their piety: Wad, Suwa, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. Very pious people. Strong followers of a Nabi, strong Muslims, pious people. They passed away. Shaitan came in the form of a human being. Remember one thing, Shaitan is jinn. Shaitan is jinn. And jinn can come in the form of a human and also animals. Jinn comes in the form of a human and animals. An angel never comes in the form of an animal, only human beings. Understand the difference, brothers? Always remember. Angels will only come if they want to come. They come in the form of a very handsome, pious human being. A pious human being. But a jinn or shaitan can come in the form of a human being and also animals. Also animals. Innocent. There is a very famous story when one of the Shaykhul Hadith was walking in Darulum Deoband, the passage there, and there was a lot of noise that was coming from the class, from a bedroom, sorry. So the Ustad was walking past, and in those days there's always a gap between the doors in India. So the Sheikh looked through the gap between the doors, and what he saw is that there were two snakes on the bed that were fighting. There were two snakes on the bed that were fighting. And then the Sheikh saw, and then he knocked on the door. It was Sheikhul Hadith. And then two students opened the door. So the Sheikh went inside and said to them that, look, imagine if any of the other students had seen what I have seen. You have come here to study. So make sure when you study, remain in the form of the body that you have. For some reason you will find that the jinns find it easy for them to adapt into the bodies of snakes or even dogs. And these, when you say dogs, are generally those that are of kufr nature. And so this is recorded, this is a fact. And so they said, they apologized to the Sheikh and they said, we are very sorry, we didn't realize. They were young students that came and they were studying hadith. So they were Muslim jinns. And so what was I saying? Wad suwa yaghus ya'ukan nasr. When they died, the jinn shaitan came in the form of a human being and went to each tribe and said, you know, you people, you should do something. The pious man who passed away, this is where he would sit in front of his house. So what you should do is you should at least erect a statue of this pious man. So all of them felt that, yeah, this is a good idea, so we should remember. So a statue was there for Yaghus, Ya'uk, Nasr, Wad, Suwa, everyone. Five statues that were there. Five statues. And then after a few months, the shaitan came and said, look, you know, if you find any difficulty, then go to the statue, sit down properly, and put your head down and ask from this pious man to remove the difficulty. Slowly they started asking from this statue, remove the difficulty. After one, two generations, they became gods. These idols became gods. And this is how shaitan works. That is why Lat in the Arabian Peninsula was a man who would serve the Hujjaj. And he would do khidmat of the Hajis. But when he passed away, there was this place on a stone he would sit. And so some of them said that, you know, let us carve and shape this stone into an idol just to remember him. And slowly, you know, they said that this is where Lat was and this is where he would sit. And then they started worshipping the stone where Lat was sitting. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers. Inshallah, I won't take much of your time. But again, this is something which is very, very important. Tawheed is very, very important. Alhamdulillah, our identity is that we believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always look after our children, where they are going. Sometimes we don't realize in a school trip what is shown to them, what they are doing. You know, that is your right as a father, as a human being. That is your right. You are the one who decides where your children should go to visit, which places. And you should spark this love for Allah in the heart so that they have this disinclination for anything that is worshipped in a different way. Why? Because that is kufr. That is kufr. There is one sahabi who came to, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the masjid, and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a man in salah. And after tashahud, he read this very beautiful dua. And inshallah, I will, if I have some of your numbers, I will WhatsApp this dua to you, some of you. And he read this dua after tashahud. He read this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah al-wahid al-ahad. Al-wahid al-ahad as-samad. How many names did he take? Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah al-wahid al-ahad as-samad. How many? O Allah, I ask you. O Allah, the one, the only, and the self-sufficient. And then, الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. That Allah, with all these attributes, who has no family, no children, and there is no one like Him, أَنْ تَغْفِرَ لِي ذُنُوبِي. O Allah, forgive all of my guna and my sins. You are the most merciful and the most forgiving. Very short dua, very beautiful dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ya Allah al-wahid al-ahad as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad an taghfir li wa tarhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim wa an taghfir li dhunubi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this dua from this sahabi, he said three times to the companions that were around him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made maghfirat of this person. Allah has made maghfirat of this person. Allah has made maghfirat of this. Allah has forgiven him. Allah has forgiven. Allah has forgiven. What a powerful dua. So that also, whenever we get an opportunity, these are very, very beautiful dua. And mashallah, we should always remember. You see, my respected brothers, in this dunya, you will find anything that is non-Islamic will always have symptoms of shirk and kufr inside them. Very, very quickly, just to give you an example. What is the day today? Friday. After Friday comes? Saturday. After Saturday comes? Sunday. Let's start with Sunday. You know, Sunday is a day of rest throughout the world. And why is it a day of rest throughout the world? Because on this day, Shaitan made a lot of effort that people should worship the sun. People should worship the sun. So much so that even in the modern world today, it is called Sunday. What is it called? Sunday. So on this day, nobody would work. These are the forces of Shaitan, because they want humanity to go to Jahannam. Do you think he's going to knock at your door and on your door and he'll say to you, oh gee, mashallah, brother Abdullah, go for namaz. Is he going to say that to you? He's not going to say that. He'll say to you, listen to the music, do all sins you can, do guna, waste your life, do that, steal, go gambling, take drugs. You know, do all the sins. Don't wake up for namaz. Do everything wrong. This is what Shaitan wants. Sunday. And in Hinduism, Sunday is called what? Itwar. What is it called? Itwar. It in Sanskrit means the sun. What is it called? Sun. And Hinduism, it's called, you know, Itwar. Itwar, I'm talking in Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, it's called also Itwar. And it actually means the sun. It actually means the sun. And also amongst them, they were worshipping the sun. Suraj Bansi. These are the people who had dedicated their life with the sun. Suraj Bansis. You know, this is what they worship. So Itwar, you know, some say Ravivar or whatever, but Itwar is there. In fact, you know, we say Itwar. We say Itwar. You know, this is a terminology that we use if you go to India, Itwar. So it was a day in which all of humanity was forced to worship the sun. Islam came and changed everything and named this day as Yawmul. MashaAllah, look at the knowledge you people have. Ajiwa. Ajiwa. Oh, I'm naraz with you people, man. Itna to kuch knowledge hona chahiye mere bhaiyo. Islam came and changed the name to what? Yawmul Ahad. Jazakallah. Sunday is called Yawmul Ahad. Sunday is called Yawmul Ahad. Yawmul Ahad, you were right the first time. Allah had changed the names, even in Islam, is about the oneness of Allah. From Sunday it is bulldozed and it is reminded, no. It is the day of Ahad. That only Ahad should be worshipped. That Ahad whose name is Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So for us as Muslims, this day is the day of Ahad. Sunday to hum bolte hai na Sunday. But actually it is the day of Ahad, the day in which we worship Allah. It is a reminder. Look how clean. Look how beautiful Islam is. Subhanallah. Everything is about Tawheed, the oneness. Closing the doors for shaitan. Closing the doors for shaitan. Everybody says Sunday. Islam says Yawmul Ahad. Islam says Yawmul Ahad. After Sunday comes, Iqbal bhai, Monday. Actually Monday was Moon Day. What was it? Moon Day. That was the real name. Then from Moon Day they changed it to Monday. So on a Sunday they would worship the sun. And on a Monday, the shaitan would make them worship the moon. So this is called Moon Day. Actually, it is called Moon Day. But now we call it Monday. Now we call it Monday. Subhanallah. And in Sanskrit, it is called Somwar. What is it? Somwar. Som in Hinduism, Sanskrit language, is called the moon. What is it? Moon. That is why in Gujarat you might have heard of the Somnath Mandir. Somnath Mandir was a mandir dedicated for those who were the moon pujaris, who were the worshippers of the moon. These were people who worshipped the moon. Somnath. Muhammad Ghaznavi, you know the history? The great Mujahid Ghaznavi attacked that location many a times. We won't go into all that, but there's all sorts of people, creepy nowadays. You know, what can you say? But the fact of the matter is, Somwar, Moon Day, Islam changed it. What did Islam change Somwar to? Yawmul Ithnain. Yawmul Ithnain. The second day. Ithnain in the Arabic language. Ithnain means number two. So it is the second day. What is it? It is the second. And then Tuesday, in Sanskrit language, it's called Mangal. And Mangal means greenery. That is why in Urdu you call it, you know, jungle ko Mangal banaya. What do they say? Something that was barren, you made it lush and green. Jungle ko Mangal banaya. Greenery. And so Tuesday was a day in which this god Tu was worshipped, and this Tu is another name for Mars. So they would worship the planet Mars on Tuesday. Tuesday means planet Mars. What does it mean? Look at the shirk that is there around us. Planet Mars. Wednesday is from the Scandinavian god Woden. Kya naam tha? Woden. Woden became Wednesday. And this is another name for Mercury, planet Mercury. In Islam we call it Yawmul Arbi'a. Tuesday we call it Yawmul Thulatha. And then Thursday was a day in which they would worship the god whose name is Thors. You know, there are some houses, they still have these Roman gods. Their names are still there. Thors. So Thursday, Thors was worshipped. In Islam, it's called Yawmul Khamis, the fifth day. Friday is a day in which the world was worshipping this goddess and this Scandinavian god. And in English, it's called Venus. In English, it's called Venus. But Friday, Allah has named this day as Yawmul Jumu'ah, the day of Ijtima. The day of Ijtima. And Saturday is a day in which they would worship the god which is known as Saturn. Saturn, planet Saturn. Saturn was worshipped. And so this Saturn is actually Saturday. So everything besides Islam is contaminated. There is shirk everywhere. That is why, my respected brothers, we have to purify ourselves. We should be loyal with Allah and His Rasul. We cannot bear, even for a few seconds, if something was taken as a false god or something that other people would revere and respect and honor. We simply say that, thank you, we respect you as a human being, but we are born free, and this is our human right, that our allegiance is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for an example, you might go to a place, and in that place there is a special kind of a handkerchief, orange in color, that they put on, example. So one Muslim decides, oh, let me go there. It's a very nice, who looks a building, first of all, are nalayak tujhe kya padi thi jane ke liye? What are you doing? And then you put this, you know, kind of a handkerchief there. This is big guna. It's big guna. Your love for Allah should be such. If somebody was to say, let me touch your wife's finger, would you allow that? Would you allow that? What is it? I'm just touching your wife's finger. Come on. You know, we live in a free world. Just touching your wife's finger. You won't allow somebody to touch your mobile phone. Something that, you know, you want for yourself, your wife or anything. Can I drive your car? Oh, no, bhai. You know, how many years experience have you got? No. Umar Farooq's not here. We would not let him drive anyway. But, subhanallah, what about Allah? What about things that are connected to kufr? As Muslims, we must have ghairat. Ghairat. Turn away, quickly, turn away. No. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And besides Allah, there is nothing that we can see and there is nothing we can tolerate. Allahu Akbar. I was recently there in Malaysia. And beautiful country. Had to do a few programs there. And one of the chaps said to me, let me take you to this sightseeing place. So I said to him, where? So he said, oh, you know, there are these caves, and in the caves there are huge idols, you know, the monks and who are these Buddhists that they worship, whatever. And all the people, foreigners, come here and they come to see this. Very beautiful. I said to him, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah save me from this. No, not at all. Not at all. Hargiz me. There is no possibility. Why? Because your love for Allah is such. What is it that you want to go and see something that is batil, that people take as a deity? That love should be there. That love should be fueled. That should always be there. That should always be there. It's called ghairat. It's called ghairat. You should have that pride inside a person. A lot of Muslims today lack that pride. And the world will term this honorability and give it another name of extremism. You're not extreme. You're not extreme. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, the most muttaqi person is that person who loves his wife the most. Subhanallah. You're not extreme. No. You have ghaira. Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Jannah in a dream. And he saw this beautiful palace. And there was hura'een from the outside that were kind of visible. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shown this, that Allah's Nabi entered the house. And Allah's Nabi said, you know, this palace, beautiful palace. Who's the owner of this palace? The angel says, Hazrat, this is your companion, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Let me go and give basharat to my sahabi and tell him, let me go in inside and see. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a few steps and then he came out and he says, no. I find Umar to be a man of ghayra. A man of ghayra. Ghayra he had. And you know, ghayra means, subhanAllah, how are you going to even translate this in English? And Allah's Nabi said that Umar ibn al-Khattab, subhanAllah, his self-pride and that he was possessive, and he was a man who took Sharia in such a way that he would not compromise anything. And so, when he came, Allah's Nabi said to him, you know, I saw your palace, but I didn't go inside. Hazrat Umar started to cry. He says, Ya Rasulullah, anybody else but never you, Ya Allah. Anybody else but never you. There is no ghayra. My love for you is such I can show you anything in this world. But a lot of people lack this. You know, a lot of people say, it's okay, chalega. This chalega sometimes is fire that's going to touch you. Allah save us. Chalega in different things. Yes, no problem. Chalega in different things. You do something else, chalega. But not in this. When it comes to wahid, and when it comes to ahad, understand masjid, understand Quran, understand Allah is one. There is no compromise. We are not required to visit anything else in this world. Nothing at all. Yes, hikmat, wisdom is something else. But these are the for the elite class of the people. For the people who are high, for the ulama, for the people who understand. And they look at a long-term picture. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, my respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. I've taken a bit of your time. Inshallah, just a few minutes of muraqabah. And then we make dua. Dua kareem. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tuba alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika.